Nice. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. It is the 2nd of January. Still feels like January 1st to me. And for those people that maybe were out late last night, haven't even woke up yet, maybe it still is New Year's Eve for them. And one of the best ways to get around, whether it's one of those holidays or whether it's just to get around in the city, is you've got Uber, you've got Lyft, definitely giving the cab companies a run for their money. In fact, maybe too much of a run. But and usually I hear, you know, typically positive things, but I was not aware that there's a little bit of a controversy where people kind of woke up and realized they'd spent hundreds of dollars on Uber because of the surcharges. And the guy, you know, he's got his hand on the pulse of all of this stuff. He is the editor at Street Blog Chicago. He is a columnist over on the transportation side at the Chicago Reader. It's John Greenfield. John, welcome to WGN.
Good to be here, Dane.
So, John, I know that we were talking the other day a little bit about this whole thing. First off, let's get into some of the pros and cons and how it's related to the cab situation. So we've got Uber here, and it looks as though the cabs, you know, they're having a hard time keeping up and keeping those kind of ride-sharing companies down. But I wanted to know a little bit before we get into the surcharge, as far as like Lyft and Uber, what are the differences? I'm not really clear on it.
Well, you know, when I consider about whether to use Lyft or Uber, you know, basically my preference is to use Lyft. It seems like a somewhat more ethical company. You know, at least I haven't heard anything bad about them, whereas Uber, you know, in some cities they've had kind of unethical business policies, like deliberately breaking laws. I heard in Portland, you know, the city government told them not to pick up people from airports, and the company was encouraging their drivers to do it anyway. The owner of the company just seems like kind of a jerk. He threatened journalists. He said,
"You don't want that."
No, as a journalist, I don't want to get threatened. he was saying that if journalists went after Uber, he would go after them. He also said some sexist remarks. So just, you know, generally seems like a bad apple. But on the other hand, Uber is a larger company, so, you know, it's maybe easier to find rides with Uber. So, you know, I guess Lyft would be my first choice, but I would also use Uber if it seems like it's more likely that there's going to be a driver nearby.
Well, some of the things that people seem to like about the ride sharing is that you can, you know, I guess it's more of a pleasant experience, other than, of course, some of those news stories that we've heard where the drivers from some of those companies actually attack the people. Right. And I'm not trying to say that maybe occasionally a cab driver doesn't attack somebody who's riding with him. But other than that, people seem to think that it's kind of a more pleasant thing. Maybe the car is a little bit better maintained. Maybe the cost is a little bit better. But then we had this situation on New Year's Eve with the surcharges, and it seems as though, and it must be in the fine print somewhere, but people were kind of shocked that that the bill was so high.
Yeah, I did hear about things where, you know, people are getting charged 9 times the usual rate. That seems pretty nuts. Really doesn't seem fair. And, you know, at the very least, they should really warn people about that up front. I mean, I haven't used rideshare during a surge period, so I don't know if something comes up automatically that notifies you. If that's the case, it was a problem. You have intoxicated passengers who aren't paying attention to that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a good idea for them to be charging $200 for an 8-mile ride. I mean, that's not going to wind up with happy customers. I guess another way to look at it, though, is, you know, I'd much rather pay $800 for a ride than get a DUI or die in a car crash. So
I guess, yeah, most definitely. And so duly noted there. But is that one of the things, you know, as the cab companies, you know, with all of their kind of traditional situations and, you know, and years of either regulation or rules or laws or just policies put in place, is that one thing that they have on them, is that they're going to disclose that that just wouldn't happen. They're not going to charge
$800. Yeah, and then there's no surge pricing for cabs. So that was definitely an advantage of catching a cab on New Year's Eve instead of taking a rideshare.
Now, for the surge pricing, do the drivers, you know, because we always hear the commercials, so I'm sure we play some of them here on WGN, maybe for Lyft, or maybe I've heard some of them on some other stations as well. Do the drivers get that, or is that something, because typically you make that transaction over your phone, right? You're not actually exchanging money with the Uber driver or the Lyft driver. So who gets that big surcharge?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, it seems like it would be really unfair if the drivers aren't getting a cut of the additional income, but I'm not certain about that. I'll have to look into it.
That's definitely.
But, you know, cabs and rideshare, at least at this point, play different roles. You know, the advantage of a cab is you can go out on the street, and if you're on a street the cabs go by regularly, you can just flag one down, you know, a little less premeditation than rideshare. You know, rideshare can be a very nice experience, too. It is great to have the cab, to have the rideshare come directly to your door. You know, all the times I've used rideshare, it only took a few minutes for the driver to show up. The drivers I've had for rideshare have been very nice. You know, they haven't been talking on the telephone headsets, and they were pretty chatty in a good way. Last ride I took, the guy had free butterscotch candies he kept offering us. So, yeah, it's pretty pleasant. I mean, I've had some great cab drivers as well.
Right.
And it would be sad if, you know, that industry completely dies out. But they're definitely going to have to modernize and, you know, learn to adapt to the changing technology. Mm-hmm. So one thing that's in the works is City Hall has put out a contract, request for proposals to create a universal ride hailing app for Chicago taxis. So, you know, if cab drivers can get in on more of the ride hailing business, that would definitely level the playing field a little bit. But, you know, I understand why cab drivers are disgruntled, because they do have a lot of disadvantages. You know, cab drivers, they have to get their vehicles inspected twice a year. They have to go through special cab driver training classes. They have to get drug tested. They have to get a chauffeur's license. So rideshare drivers don't have to go through all that red tape.
It seems like, yeah, there's a lot of restrictions. I don't want to say restrictions, but things, just extra hoops to jump through for the cab drivers. And it looks like one of those businesses that, and I think we talked about it the other day, like when I see Redbox, I think to myself, why didn't the Blockbuster people just realize that people would, that this is going to work and maybe this is the future and get on board and do this? And so when when Uber and Lyft just first started, I think everybody, because people would be apprehensive getting into a stranger's car and letting have, you know, some stranger drive them wherever. I think it took a certain period of positive word of mouth, like people saying, hey, this really works, or I really like this, before it got to the point where they were comfortable. So as soon as that happened, I think the technology side makes a ton of sense. The cab drivers, even if they couldn't do it like completely company-wide, they should have got on board with the technology and been a little bit more forward-thinking and started doing some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem with the cab industry, at least in Chicago, is it's got a lot of inertia. It's an industry that's dominated by a handful of wealthier guys who own medallions. And they've just been pretty effective in lobbying getting aldermen to, you know, keep the system in place. It's kind of like, you know, it's very analogous to brick and mortar restaurants and food trucks. You know, the old school businesses don't want competition. You know, on the other hand, the medallion situation is a little sad in that, you know, some independent cab drivers who have purchased medallions, these things cost like $150,000, $200,000, or they have in the past.
Yep.
And you got these guys, you know, they're working class guys. They might have immigrated, and they are, you know, paying off the loan for their medallion. And now their medallion is really losing value.
Right.
I've heard that medallion sales in Chicago have really dropped steeply. I think an article I saw about it recently said, like, there was only one medallion sold recently, and it was really below what, you know, wasn't sold for much. So I think we're going to have some of these old school cab drivers who are going to, you know, it's understandable that these guys are getting upset and they're marching around City Hall and things, because they're kind of viewing their trade as an endangered species.
Well, you could see it too. It's, you know, you remember like the horse and buggy people were probably upset when the car showed up, and, you know, at least initially they're like, well, this will never work. People love horses and buggies.
Uh-huh.
And then in the end, it's like, geez, that that kind of sucks. You know, we better find something else to do. So hopefully some of those cab people can kind of transition because it's still the same or a very similar job. And if it's just cheaper to do business that and they still have that working knowledge of the city or they just love driving people from point A to point B, they can do it. And so before we let you go, we want to make sure we get all the information how people can follow and catch up with you. It was exciting to talk with you about some of the things happening on Lakeshore Drive. And so people are going to look for that next week on WGN. But so where can people read you on a regular basis? Your hand is on the pulse of all things moving.
Sure. Well, I'm the editor of Streets Blog Chicago, which is a daily transportation news and advocacy website. My partner for that's a guy named Stephen Vance. He's a brilliant urban planning professional. With the one great thing about working with Stephen is he basically has a photographic memory, so he's excellent for stats and pulling up obscure information about transportation projects. And so we're at chi.streetsblog.org. And I also do a weekly column for the Chicago Reader. So that's a new endeavor I've been doing since we launched in early November, and that's been really fun joining the Reader crew.
Well, John Greenfield, we appreciate you coming on. Encourage people to see you at Streets Blog Chicago, and of course in the Reader for all things transportation. And then we'll be talking with you next week about the Lakeshore Drive situation. That is some pretty cool stuff too. And thanks for being on WGN. Thanks for staying up, and a happy New Year.
Hey, I just want to say one thing. You know, any listeners out there, if you're partying tonight, please don't drive drunk. I don't care whether you get a taxi or a rideshare, but just get home safely.
Nope. Sage advice and happy New Year. Thanks, John, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks. It's Dane Neal in on 720 WGN.